All right. Good morning, church. I got to say, we've had a fantastic worship service. I want to thank the singers for leading us in worship this morning. And it's just good to see everyone and to be here. You know, this is our last time meeting here at the middle school. And, you know, once you've kind of gotten the pattern going, you know, you get used to the high school. So I had to say to myself three times, we're at the middle school. But if you're visiting with us, again, I want to welcome you to the New Jersey region of the New York City Church of Christ. And it is just very great that we can be together and that you've come here to worship with us this morning. Before we get started, I do want to make mention a few prayer requests, and then we'll pray and jump into today's service. I want to ask if we can pray for Carol Barnum, who's having surgery, and also Dr. Marcus Williams, brother-in-law, passed away. They were en route to get there and unfortunately didn't make it before he passed. And so at this time, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll continue with our service. God, we thank you for allowing us to come and to be able to worship and honor you. God, you are worthy of honor. You are not only powerful, all-knowing, you're personal. And I thank you so much for caring about the details of our lives. The things that we don't think are significant, you care. And God, we lift up Carol and pray that you will help the surgery to be successful. Father, we lift up the Williams family and ask that you comfort Marcus and his family at this time and the passing of his brother-in-law. And God, we just pray in general that you would be with our service today and that you would move in a very, very powerful way. We love you, God. We thank you. And we pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're missing two special people here. Larry and Mary Lou are out on the left coast visiting with family. And they are sad that they couldn't be here with us this morning. But, you know, this morning, we've been focusing this year on the theme, All About Jesus. And it's exciting when you talk about Jesus, because Jesus is everything. He created everything. He sustains everything. And he's the reason that we're here worshiping together. You know, Jesus, as we've learned previously, is that he's our sanctifier. He's the one that makes us right before God. And Jesus is our Satan conqueror. He allows us to overcome Satan. He's the one that gives us the power to do his will. But this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus, the sympathizer. Because, you know, one thing Satan loves to do is make people think that they're all alone. That you can't relate to my problems. That you're weird. You know, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And that we're kind of in it on our own. That our struggles are just worst struggles in the world, and nobody relates and understands. But Jesus does. And the reality is, everybody's got something. You know, this Sunday, we decided that this year is, I can't even remember a year like this. We've had over 40 deaths in our fellowship here in the New Jersey region. And it is so unsettling. It's so, you know, I'm starting to get a little depressed going to two funerals in a weekend. And at one point, it was a stretch of 12 weeks of funerals. And it can wear you down. You know, we even lost one of our dear sisters, Michelle Sabia, and I wanted to acknowledge that her family is here with us worshiping this morning. I want to thank you for coming to be with us. But one of the things that God wants each and every one of us to understand and remember is he wants us to focus on Jesus. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at three scriptures. I'm going to make a couple of points. And then I'm going to invite our dear brother Fred Crisati to come up, who helps with Leo Safle lead our grief recovery ministry. And Fred's going to share about what that ministry is and what it's doing. And then we're going to see a video of a couple of members who are part of that ministry. And then I'm going to come back up and close it out. But let's read some scriptures, because this is all about Jesus, right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. For surely it is not angels he helps, but God's descendants, us. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. And it reads, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. You know, Jesus Christ, although he was the Son of God, although he was God incarnate in the flesh, he was a man like you and I. He came to be a substitute for us. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to help those who were reconciled also when they are tempted. You know, our God is not some cosmic being that wants to be in control, even though he's in control. But you know what he wanted more than anything else? He wanted to feel everything we feel. He wanted to be in touch with everything that we're in touch with, so he could be merciful, understanding, and a faithful high priest. Jesus didn't just come to save us, but he also wanted to sympathize with us. When somebody tells you, I understand how you're feeling, that changes the tone of your conversation. Because you know that that person gets you. They understand where you're coming from. And that's who he is. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:8. You don't have to turn there. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said something to him. He said, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember that wherever you may go, he's been there before you. And that you and I, when we're going through stuff, can get down on our knees when the going gets tough, and we can get down and pray to him and say, Lord, you know what you went through when Judas betrayed you? You know what you went through when the disciples slept when you asked them to be there for you? You know, those times when you're depending on people and they don't come through, or you're getting heckled or ridiculed. You remember that? Well, that's where I am right now. I'm going through it now. And he says, yeah, you know what? I know. I know exactly how that feels. I understand. You know, it's amazing, because it's beautiful to know that when I have a problem, I always have some place to go. Somebody that's going to listen, who's going to understand, who's going to hear me, and who's experienced way, way more than what I could ever experience. Other people may understand, but they can't fully understand like Jesus. Jesus can identify with us, and he can understand us. He became our sympathizer, a merciful and faithful high priest. You know what I love when I read in the Bible? Jesus sitting there by the well, and the woman comes up, or even before that, the Bible says Jesus was hungry. Jesus hungered. Sometimes we gloss over that. You've been hungry before? Yeah, I was so hungry this morning, I got here 5 minutes late for an appointment because I needed to get a little breakfast in me, because, you know. But I told the brother, and he was like, amen, bro, this grace. That's grace. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was overcome with fatigue. He slept. He was taught. He grew. He loved. He was astonished. He was glad. He was angry. He was indignant. He was grieved. He was troubled. He was overcome by future events. He exercised faith. He read scriptures. He prayed. He felt for the sick and the needy. And he cried. He cried. He cried when his heart ached. Jesus felt everything that we will ever feel, and way, way more, to a degree that we would never understand. I mean, because of the fact that he never sinned, he felt temptation to a degree that you and I could never, ever possibly experience. Unfortunately, because sometimes we give up and we give in. But he never did. He took the full measure of every temptation that came to him, but he ended victorious over each and every trial. Why did he go through that? He did it so that he could become a merciful, faithful high priest who could sympathize with our weaknesses and who could come to the aid of those who are tempted. This, my friends, is our Savior. If you don't know him in that way, I invite you to set some time aside to get to know Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who died and resurrected from the grave. He's a God who not wants to only give you salvation, but desperately wants to sympathize with you. You know, I'm so thankful for men like Fred Crisati, who's getting ready to come up and share, and Leo Saffle, who God put it on their hearts to go into counseling. And now they've taken what they've learned and they're sharing it with the body of Christ. Needs are being met. Lives are being changed because Jesus did something. And these brothers, you know, took the call and took the challenge. And so I'm very thankful. And at this time, Fred's going to come up and share about our grief recovery ministry.
Morning, church. Before I get started, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all the great gifts that you've given us. But most importantly, Father, let us always be mindful of the gift of your Son, because without that, there is no shot. Father, you have prepared rooms for us. That is our comfort. That is our faith. That is our belief. I pray that the Holy Spirit be with me and speak through me powerfully. I pray that the Holy Spirit be in this room, in the hearts of all the people here, and work powerfully within them. Because, Father, you know the people in this room, many are struggling with grief, with pain, with sorrow, with loss. Father, I pray that they feel the comfort of you. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so Leo is not here. He's unfortunately away. I wish he was, because Leo and I started, well, it was really more Leo, and actually Vicky Mack was very instrumental in getting the grief recovery started. And so because Leo and I both are in the counseling field, we kind of got together, and we kind of started this venture because we realized that there are a lot of people who are struggling with different losses. And one of the things about the grief recovery, it's not just the death of a loved one, which is the most powerful loss, but there are other losses. Loss of a job, loss of a marriage, loss of a pet. There are just so many things that we experience that we have that are gone. And how do we deal with that loss? And so that's the reason and the purpose of the grief recovery, is to give people a opportunity to sit with fellow disciples and share their grief and talk about what it is that they struggle with, all in the comfort and the confines of a very safe sanctuary. Because that's what the grief recovery room is about. We talk about confidentiality. We talk about safety and security. Because in dealing with very personal issues, it's very hard sometimes to be open because you're not sure where it's going to go. And so it's extremely critical that in this group that we talk about confidentiality. And the more that comfort is there, the more open people become. And the more the Holy Spirit can work within them so that they can find their comfort in whatever they're grieving at that particular time. Leo and I are not the, you know, we don't have the answers. I wish I did. I would manufacture it, put it in a pill, have people come in, sit down and say, take this, go home, and let me know how it works. But we don't have that. But what we do have is the Bible. That is the pill. And that is the pill that we all should ingest and allow to work within us. As we sometimes don't understand. God, what are you doing? All right? There are many people who wrestled with God in the Bible. And if you know anything about wrestlers, and we talk about this in the grief recovery, if you know anything about wrestlers, one thing they do is they hold on to each other. They grapple with each other. They're always wrestling. And that's what, and God's okay with that. As long as we don't do what? Let go. So it's okay to wrestle with God. And sometimes people struggle with that. Like, is God going to dislike me? Is God going to question me? No. God wants you to connect with him. He wants you to share what your grief is. So, it's really interesting that I've been asked to do this. And my conversion story, for some of you who know, is rather interesting. In 2000, I clinically died. I crossed over through a tunnel into a field of huge sunflowers. Their seeds were there, but the flowers were also there. The flowers are much bigger than the seeds, I can assure you. And it was a very very profound and interesting experience. A light consumed me. I was in a place that was the most relaxing, most comforting place I have ever been. And those of you that know me know that I'm a very calm, gentle person. And so this was unique. However, I remember being there saying, this is a wonderful place, but I don't want to stay. And I open up my eyes and I'm in the ambulance and the paramedics are there with the paddles and all of that kind of stuff. And it was the day that the Lord hit me upside the head with a 2x4 and said, son, you need to know who I am. And he allowed me to come back. So understanding dying is rather personal for me. Okay? I understand what it is to go there and to be here. And the comfort that I can give people is knowing and believing that regardless, that's the place we all will be. So there is no pain. There is no suffering for those people. It is peace. It is joy. It is comfort when they say yes. However, for us, it's painful. It's difficult. It's hard. And I just want to encourage you, if you are struggling with any of that, that the grief recovery is a wonderful ministry for you to come and get connected with that connected with that joy and that peace. You know, God grieves, Jesus grieves. In Judges 10, talks about God grieving for Israel. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, God grieved. He was in pain. He was in desperate. He was desperate, sweating blood. Lazarus. We know God cried. So what does that tell us? God understands us. God loves us. God connects with our grief. And so when we go to God, He knows what we're going through because He suffered it. He struggled with it. When you talk to somebody and they say, I understand, but they haven't been really through it, sometimes it's hard to go, do you really understand? I'm glad you sympathize with me. Thank you for that. But you don't really understand what I'm going through. But God does, and Jesus does, because they experienced it, and they love us. So I just want to encourage each of you, as you go through your struggles, that God is there. God is, as it talks about in John 14, 16, God is our, Jesus is our advocate. He's our comforter. The reason why I got into counseling was because of that scripture. Because that was a calling, it just jumped out of the page. It just said to me, I've given you certain gifts and certain talents, and I want to use them through you. And it's been a very interesting journey, very challenging, but very rewarding to watch and see, not me, but the Holy Spirit work through the hearts of people when they're committed to God. Okay, I want to wrap up. And, you know, just God doesn't take things away. You know, sometimes we use words, and we have to be careful of the words we use because they have different meaning to different people, right? One of the words when I talk in counseling, it's like people say, well, I can't do this. Well, unless you're talking about jumping out of an airplane without a parachute, that's something you can't do. At least I don't think so. Okay, I mean, yes, God can intervene. I get that. But I don't know that's necessarily going to happen. So when we say things like, I can't do this, it's not I can't. I won't. It's difficult. It's hard. Those are truer words. That's the truth. And biblically, we know when we know the truth, what happens? Amen, right? We're set free. And so careful using words. Right? And so one of the things that, you know, I think about is like, does God take things away? No, that would be negative. God doesn't take things away. We do talk about Him taking away our sins, but that's not what He does. He forgives us. It's a different word. It's a different meaning when you think about being forgiven or taking away. To me, the connection between forgiven and taking away, forgiven is a much more powerful word. God comforts. He forgives. He allows. And most of all, He welcomes. He's a welcomer. When this life is temporary, and when it's all said and done, He's going to welcome us. So anybody, if you're struggling with death and dying, just know that God is ready and waiting to welcome you. We're going to have a video right now of two people who went through the grief recovery, and they're going to share their story. We're going to have another grief recovery group after January, beginning in the first of the year. We'll have an announcement. We would love, Leo and I would love for you to come. We encourage you. We'll have a sign up sometime. If you need answers, I certainly, or you have questions, I'll try to answer whatever I can for you. I'll be available after service. Thank you very much, and to God be the glory.
Grief comes in very, very different ways for very different people. Like, grief is not the same thing for me as it is for others.
My dad passed away in this April, and so it was very challenging because he was my best friend.
I couldn't sleep, and I was having, and when I could sleep, I would have some sort of nightmares.
It just left a big hole, a big gap, and I was trying to sort things out.
That started turning into a little bit of a depression.
I started praying, but I wasn't really sure, and God had a couple of people come up to me and say, go to the grief class.
So I decided to sign myself up for it.
It was like a comfortable atmosphere. We were able to just talk about, you know, how we felt about what we're grieving about and different things like that.
And it was, I felt safe. It felt safe to just be able to say I'm going through this and know that there were some people going through the same thing that I was, and I didn't even realize that, you know. It was very comforting, very comforting. God is there through the people that He puts in our lives and just helps you to get in touch.
It's helped me tremendously just to stay open about my feelings. It definitely helped because it was people there that lost a lot of family members this year, and I felt like they were relatable.
The way that the scriptures are really brought to life,
that really helped me always just to kind of take it back to the Bible.
Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I never really connected with the mourning part of it, and now I do.
There's many different stages of grief. There's many different type of feelings, and that it's okay that you're in different stages of grief. You know, there's no right or wrong to how you feel.
And grief doesn't necessarily mean having lost someone that you love. It means, you know, even losing an opportunity in life, meaning, you know, maybe a dream that didn't come true, and you grieve that, and there is still comfort for that. There is this group available here now, and it's led by, you know, amazing people, knowledgeable and spiritual, and it's safe, and you can go and let go and learn to let go of that pain and to have that help. It's a blessing to have that.
Well, I want to thank Olga and Michelle. Thank you so much for sharing and being willing to take out that time. And they said a lot more, but I think you get the point. I also want to thank Curtis and Carla Braithwaite. Where are they? There he is, right there. Where's your wife? There she is. Guys, stand up, please. These guys videotaped, they put this together, and you guys rock. You know, again, we're talking about grief recovery, but I want to just remind us, come to me, and this is Jesus speaking, not me, because I don't want to be burdened down, because I got my own burdens to Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus also goes on in John 16:33, and you know what he says? In this world, you will have what? Trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. It's comforting to know grief recovery, it's all about helping us go to Jesus. Because that's the source. He's the one that can fix things. He's the one that sustains things. He's the one that will lead us all the way home. And so again, I want to thank you so much. I want to ask the singers if they can start making their way up. And again, our God is a sympathizer. He not only gives us salvation, but he empathizes with us in every way. Thank you, and to God be the glory. Amen.